Amen. It's good to be here today, ain't it? Amen. Surely the Lord is in this place. Shane, if you would, go ahead and put that quote up there first. Can you read that? Can you see that? Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. That's attributed to Viktor E. Frankl. Lived during the Holocaust. Was in the Holocaust. Was tortured. He knew about struggle. He said, between stimulus and response, there's a space. There's a time. Between every thought and action, there's a space. He said, in that space is our power to choose our response. Some of you say, I just flew off the handle. I didn't even know what I did. But there's a space. I believe some people's space is shorter than others. But you still have a space. The Bible tells us to be slow to anger. It tells us to be quick to hear, but slow to speak. There's a space. I want to talk to you a little bit about our thoughts. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. We are in a series of parallels, types, and shadows. So we're taking scriptures from the Old Testament, bringing them along, scriptures from the New Testament. Some of them are a little unorthodox, not really what you're going to find in the bookstore. But as this one, I got to be careful today because you may think that I went off my rocker if I'm not careful. So I wish Sam would have written this for me because he words his sermons to where I just, right when I think he's off his rocker, he makes me realize he's not. So sometimes I leave things hanging and people's like, what did you mean by that? But Sam has a way of bringing it back together. I told him one day, I said, Sam, you make these statements, they make me so nervous. I go, oh. Then he clarifies and I go, oh, okay, yeah, you're good. So I wish you would have written this sermon, but I didn't have time for that. So John 21:1-7. Says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. And here's how he did it, the Bible says. Here's how he showed himself. They were together, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the son of Zebedee, and other disciples. I love this. I love the way this is worded because this is hick. The next verse says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. The makes it so much better. I work in southern West Virginia, and Nolan, a lot of times on the CB, I hear us where they shouldn't be. And they're like, I don't know what he's a-doing. And this is what I think of every time I read this scripture. I go a-fishing. Like Peter says, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, you know what? We're going too. And they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing, not a few, nothing. All right, you can go ahead and sit down. And I'll read this as we go. the parallel scripture to this, and I'll come back to this. I'm going to use Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And this is going to be a little unorthodox again, but I want to get a thought across to you today. Genesis 3 and 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told thee? That's one of those scriptures I'm like, yeah. Who told you you were naked? I mean, nobody ever has to. Never mind. I'll just leave it alone. But he says, who told thee? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. All right, so I'm just going to throw this out there at first. In ancient literature, in a lot of societies and a lot of cultures, things are used to represent something else. And it's that way in the Hebrew Bible as well. In ancient literature, a lot of times, birds were used to represent freedom and strength. If I was a bird, I'd fly far, far away. Because there's freedom in that. You're not, I don't know if I can quote Jenny or not, but we did. You just don't know if they equate the flight to freedom. So when you think of an eagle, we say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with, that doesn't literally mean you're going to fly, people. That's not what that means. It's an allegory. It's a type. And an eagle in its strength soars above everything else. So there's types of that. In ancient literature, fish were used as a type of thoughts. I can see that biblically as well. How many times have you ever heard this? Man, I just got so many thoughts. What are they doing? Swimming around where? In your head. And some of them are swimming in muddy water. But these thoughts, we say, I have thoughts swimming in my head. And thoughts are a lot like fish. If you've ever had a minnow trap, I said minnow. Did y'all catch up? It ain't a minnow trap. Yeah, if you ever had a minnow trap, there are times, very few times, but when you're trying to corral these fish, they are so quick to just to get away if you're not careful. If you don't keep them in a good place where they're captive, then you get in trouble. Now, God put Adam in the garden, and he gave him dominion. And the old writer said the first thing that he gave him dominion over was the fish of the sea. So if we use this allegory and we use this type, we see that the first thing Adam was given dominion over was his thoughts, if this allegory applies. I want to go ahead and fast forward real quick so you feel better, so you don't feel like I went off my rocker and is just connecting things in Scripture that don't connect. Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Now, that we know that's not literal. It'd be cool if it was. How awesome would it be, Doug, if I needed a sinner to come to the altar, I could hook them in the lip, and I want to, and just pull them up here. Like, man, this one's fighting. This one's really good. It doesn't mean literal, but he says, you got to fish after men. Now, what he's talking about is you got to get into their thought life. You've got to say something to them to get them thinking. That's what the gospel is. God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them. So here's what happens. Your thoughts depict a lot of things. So when you come into a church service, it's my goal to plant the word of God. I don't want to call it bait you because that just seems so wrong. But I want to present something in a way that it provokes you to thought. And in that thought process, the Spirit comes alongside the Word and produces life in you. How many people were sitting in a service and you had this going on? I think I'll go to the altar. I think I won't. I think I will. I think I won't. I think I will. I think I won't. I think I will. Raise your hand if that has ever happened to you at any time in your life. Those thoughts are going back and forth. And eventually, one thought won out. Amen? Some services, listen, that happened to me a lot. Because y'all know my story. Since a little kid, I'd go to church, and then I'd quit, and then I'd go to church, and I'd quit, and 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 I'd go to church, and I'd quit. I'd go, how many times I got to keep saying? You get the point. I would go to church, and I'd give up, and I would sit there, and these thoughts would go through my head. Man, I'm going to go to hell. Man, it's going to burn forever, because them preachers were scary. And unlike you young people that don't know what a coal stove is, some of you older people say, amen. Man, I watched them things turn blood red on the pipes. And somebody would say, man, that's what hell's going to be like. And I'm like, man, I don't want it. No, not y'all. Y'all got a thermostat and a fan outside that blows, that conditions the air and makes sure. You don't know. You don't know nothing about it. So it's a little harder now because these kids. But, man, they would preach on hell. And I was scared to death to go to hell. Anybody with me? I would sit there and say, man, I don't want to go to hell. I need to do this. And then I do it to save myself from hell. Never falling in love with Jesus. Never learning anything else about him. Just knowing at that moment I was safe. I would wait and look for the coming of the Lord. Because they had me so nervous. They would preach things like, God is coming back after those that love his appearing. And if you're not watching for him, you're going to be left. I can remember this, people. That, again, maybe I'm weird, but they got to me. Because there was times I would lay in my bed and look out the window. I hope he comes tonight while I'm still looking. Not knowing what they were saying. But these thoughts produce actions. Your thoughts are extremely important. But your thoughts aren't who you are. Some people think what they think is who they are. You're not a thought being. You're a human being that has thoughts. So if you make this statement, I can't control what I think about, I beg to differ, you can, and I got Bible to back it up. You just don't randomly have to give in to every thought that comes your way. I've thought crazy things before. What would this guy do? If I just grab my steering wheel and hit him. Hey, it crossed my mind. And some of y'all, it crossed your mind too. You just don't want to admit it. Like, I wonder what he would do. I've worked with customers before, Chris, and they just ramble. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what does this guy do if I just smacked him in the face? Like, the shock factor would be so cool. I didn't do it, but it was a thought. It was a thought. Raise your hand if you've ever had that thought. I wonder what the, okay. Man, look around. Y'all are all weirdos. You're at the right place, man. A whole church of weirdos. Your thought, between the thought and the response, there's a gap. There is a gap. Some of y'all are quick thinkers. Some of you aren't. Some people are so witty and so quick. I remember one time I was at Walmart and I had a bottle of Snapple when they were in glass bottles. I think they done went plastic, ain't they? Glass bottle, sitting at the end. Man, it could have been an embarrassing situation because that thing fell off the counter. And when it did, everybody that was checking her out turned around and looked at me. I was like, I got to think quick. I went. This guy, a couple hours later, said, that's good. That's good. I don't know where his Snapples are coming from. They're coming from the ceiling, man, or something. I don't know. There's a gap. Here's what happens in your Christian walk. Sometimes you don't take control in the gap. You don't take control when the thought comes in. Just because the thought comes in doesn't mean you have to act on that thought and say, this must be who I am because I've had this thought. No, the thought comes in, and then you've got a decision to make. And here's what, man, I feel preachy, and I'm not supposed to. But when you got the Spirit of God, you got power to take that thought and do away with it. Or, oh, glory. Watch this. Ecclesiastes 9 and 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net. How can a net be evil? Could you look at a net and say, that's a good net and that's an evil one? Could you tell the difference? Could you discern, if I had two nets laying here, could you discern which one is good and which one is evil? So he must not be talking about rope, right? He's talking about something different. He's saying there is an evil network. There is an evil system. And they don't know the time. They're taken in an evil net. Taken in an evil net. So there is a thought. There is a system that's out there, and its purpose is to capture you. Let me say it like this. Its purpose is to captivate you. Oh, man. And this system works together to lock you down in a series of thought processes. And if you keep thinking the same thought, Jason, I'm going to rebuke you right now, right here in front of everybody, because I love you. Quit saying you can't memorize scripture. Because if you keep saying it, you're going to get caught in this pattern that you came. Watch this. Jesus wept. That's a scripture, man. Jason just memorized a scripture, a whole scripture. Build off that. Doug, I'm rebuking you in front of everybody. Quit saying you can't memorize scripture. Because that thought will produce in you, I can't do it. Now, can you memorize? I sound like you. I'll rebuke you and now your spirit's all over me. Now, can you memorize scripture? No, that was so weak. Can you?
Yes.
Give me one.
Jesus wept.
There's power in your thoughts. So much power. Watch this. Amos 4:2. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. Oh, we're talking something spiritual here, ain't we? We're talking about something spiritual here. We're talking about something that tries to get your attention and get you hooked. Oh, man, I'm telling you. You get to decide what you're hooked on. You decide in the gap. That's where your power takes place, is in the gap. The thought may come. No, whatever way the thought comes, that sometimes you're not looking for it, you're not expecting it, there it is, the thought. But it's in that gap that you decide whether you're going to grow and overcome and have revival and or are you going to succumb to the thought? Because when you give in to the thought, here's how it works. When a thought comes, that may not be your thought. But here's what it does. When you take the thought and you add to it, you bought the thought. And when you buy the thought, at that point, it's your thought. You have taken it, you've added to it, you own it. Oh, man, I'm telling you, there's power in that gap. Victory is won in that gap. When the thought comes in, the devil will give you a thought. He'll say, man, something bad's going to happen today. Now, here's what you can do. You can say, yeah, it's Friday the 13th. Oh, there's people out there like that. We had a big high wall fall on Friday the 13th. And we operate on minor 14, which is not really minor 14. It's minor 13 because they were so superstitious, they didn't name it 13. They went minor 12, minor 14. But we are 14, which is really 13. And this guy pulls up and he says, man, minor 13, Friday the 13th, this is bad. He said, how many beams are left down there? In a pit? I said, probably about 13. The devil gives you a thought. Something bad's going to happen today. Hey, it's the gap. You can decide. You can walk around on eggs. You can walk around wondering. Every time the phone rings, you can be scared, or you can say, you know what? My Bible says all things work together for good. So how can anything bad happen today? Because I know that if it's in God's hands, it's good. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm in God's hands. And if I'm in God's hands, there ain't nobody able to take me out of God's hands. So I just want to let you know, devil, while I'm in the gap, I might as well preach in the gap and let you know that there ain't nothing bad going to happen to me today, because God's going to work it all out for good. Even if the enemy needs it for evil, God will turn it to good. What do you do in the gap? You start calling people.
How you feeling? I just feel like something horrible's gonna happen.
Couldn't you text this? Never mind. There's a gap. Watch what happens. I got to go back to our original scripture. Watch this. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples. Peter says, I go fishing. All the other disciples say, yeah, we go too. These are very experienced fishermen. But they caught. Look at your neighbor and say, nothing. Nothing. They caught nothing. Absolutely nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. This is how Jesus starts appearing to them. Watch this question. You missed this when you read it. You've read this, but you missed this because you was thinking this story was really about fish. I'm going to tell you, everything in this Bible is about your growth spiritually. He said, morning was come. Jesus stood up with it, and they didn't know. Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? Is fish meat? Yeah. Do you call it that? No. Nobody I know calls fish meat. Do you? I'm going to go get me some tuna meat. Now you call it treat meat because you're a hick. But he calls fish meat. They said, no, no, we don't have any meat. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Watch how this is worded. And ye shall find. I mean, normal language would be like this. Hey, you got any fish? No? Put it on the other side and you'll catch some. But Jesus has always got purposes when he's talking. He said, you got any meat? No? Well, get on the right side and ye shall find. Who talks like that? Jesus? Why? Because he's getting something across to him. What's he talking about? He's talking about revelation. He's talking about thoughts. He's talking about things that you know. What? How do you know this? Because he looks at him and says, do you have any meat? What's he talking about? Meat. Meat. Paul said, I would that you were on meat, but the problem is you're still on milk. Was he talking about hamburger? No, he's talking about revelation. He's saying, I would give you the deeper things, but you're on the shallow things. The deeper things take place in your thoughts. He's saying, man, I would that you were on meat. Jesus is saying, hey, do you got any meat? Oh, glory. No, they're so shallow that they don't have any meat. They don't have any meat because their mind is always on the surface. Oh. Some writers go as far as to say, and I won't go this far, but I want to give you this information so you can decide. Wait a minute. Give me four volunteers. Stand up. Just four volunteers. Stand up. All right, it's worship time. I want you to raise one hand to the Lord. You can stay right there. Raise one hand to the Lord. Raise one hand to the Lord. Go ahead. Raise one hand to the Lord. Which hand? What hand are you? Right-handed? What hand are you? What about you? What about you? Why are you weird? Everybody else, dominant hand forward. Not him. All right, you can sit down. Now, they say that the right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. Did y'all learn that in school? Did anybody go to school? And they say vice versa. It's why they say that left-handed people are so creative, because the creative side is over here. Yeah, you sound like Tracy, man. She's the only one in her right mind. They say, this is what they tell us, is logic works on the left side. This is where you do your math. This is where you do your figuring. Jethro Bodine, ought not is ought. This is where you get all that. This is where all that takes place. Left brain. Over here is your creative side. Let me tell you the problem with every person sitting in this room. We were all trained in a school system that is deals with your left side. Because they want you to think logically. So when you go to work in the factory and you become, man, I sound like some crazy preacher right now, but I'm telling you, they put us in row in alphabetical order for a reason. Sit down. Even the bus drivers. Sit down. Shut up. I know where you live. I'll turn this bus around. I know your daddy. Man, I'm just a happy kid. Woo! Just let me express myself. No, sit down. Shut up. Y'all know it's true. Some of y'all got in so much trouble, and the thing you got in trouble for is actually what helps you now. Go ahead, Sam. Don't listen to your Sunday school teachers. Don't listen to your parents. Preach it, boy. Y'all don't get that. It's an inside joke, but y'all figure it out if y'all listen to the sermons. There comes a point when we are trained to think everything logically. Now watch what happens to Peter. Doug, Jesus is dead. He hasn't seen him. So he starts thinking very logically. Left brain, right? Hey, I'm going fishing. Why would he want to go fishing? Because that's what he did before Jesus got him. He fished. And he's fishing, Perry, and Jesus is gone. I'm going to go back to doing what I did before. It's logical. The problem is, when he got out there, it wasn't working for him. And I listen, y'all decide whether y'all think this is what Jesus is working on or not. But he says, cast it on the right side. They say that religious experience and faith is on the right side. Get out of the logical side, because let me tell you what God isn't. God isn't logical. How can you say that, Mr. Apologetic? I'm going to tell you why. Because when he looks at them and says, march around the city, don't say a word, do it one time a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, do it seven times, and watch the walls fall. People, that ain't logical. So you got to think. You can't think like, I got God figured out, and if I add God this way, and I do this, and if I give this much, God's going to give me this much in return, and I'm going to do this. Let me tell you how God works. He says, one will put 1,000 to flight. And if I got my math figured up on the left side, I'm going to figure this out. That means two's going to put 2,000. But God said two puts 10,000 to fly. Because let me tell you what God does. You can give God a little, and he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't contain. He said, Peter, get on the right side. Get on the faith side. Get on the believing side. Get on the right side. And when he did, what'd he do? He caught all kinds of stuff. Jesus gives this in parable form. Let me find it for you real quick here. Matthew 13, 47. He gives this in parable form. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea. Now, just to let you know, you can do this on your own time. Here's your homework. Figure out what the sea represents in Scripture. Spoiler alert, it represents the wicked. You know where the beast comes from, up from out of? Comes out of the sea. The Bible talks about the wicked are like the sea. They're always tossed to and fro, never settled. So anyway, you can go find that too. Back me up. No homework. You're class dismissed. Again, the kingdom of heaven's like a net that was cast into the sea, and it gathered of every kind. Watch what happens. If fish represents thoughts, let me say it like this. You're going to have all kinds of thoughts. How many people have all kinds of thoughts? How many people have these thoughts one time that are totally like, I don't know where that came from. I hadn't even been thinking about it. Oh, let me ask you this. How do your dreams roll? Because you know that's part of your thought process. Now, all of a sudden, you're running through the woods being chased by a lion, and you turn the corner, and there's Sally Fields eating Wheat Thins. You're like, I don't know what just happened here. What is wrong with my brain? Y'all are laughing because y'all have had some weird dreams. You had a dream you're trying to beat people's faces, and your fists won't move, and then something's after you trying to run. You're like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you run? Do you dream in color or black and white? You don't know. All this is your thought process. So in these thoughts come. He said, you're going to catch all kinds. Watch this. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good in the vessels, but cast the bad away. Man, I'm starting to see that this really could work scripturally, that fish represent thoughts. Because when you bring them in and you got them, you know what you do? You keep the good, you cast the bad away. But so many times, Brother Rick, we keep the bad and cast the good away. Good news don't sell. Not very much. Nobody ever puts in the newspaper 380 airplanes land safely in the Chicago airport today. Nobody does that, but let one crash and it's across the world. Because bad news sells. Amen? But man, I'm talking about you living a healthy Christian life. You got to weed these thoughts out. Take the good and put them in vessels. Get rid of the bad. There's a reason why Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children with, y'all go to Sunday school? With two little fishes and five loaves of bread. With this little bit of food, the multitude was fed. Is he telling us something else? Is he trying to tell us that when we put bread, what's bread represent? The word with our fish? When we start putting our thoughts with the bread, when we start putting the fish with the bread, we start getting fed. I think Joshua knew what he was talking about. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. He's saying, meditate on the word. Let me tell you what meditation is. It's putting your thoughts in places where they need to be. Oh, let your mind go blank. Your mind can't go blank, people. If I tell you to think about nothing, you know what you're going to think about? Thinking about nothing. Don't you even think about the color red right now. Don't think about it. What happened to you? Don't think about a big whale. Oh, there's another story. There's a big fish. That's a really big fish. Because let me tell you what happens. When you don't have control of your fish will swallow you. If you don't get control of your thoughts will swallow you. Amen? So how does this parallel? Let me finish the story up here of Peter. Peter goes fishing. He tells them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was, what? I'm going to be honest, if I'm any other fisherman on that boat, I'm uncomfortable. Ain't it funny though, when you start thinking wrong? If Adam did have dominion over his thoughts, when he lost dominion over his thoughts started controlling him. Would that be true? Because somewhere a thought came in his head, you need to be covered. You need to be covered. So he started acting according to his thoughts instead of having his thoughts in control like he did before the fall. Peter has done gave up. He's turning back. He's going back to his old way. So you know what the problem is? Now he stands very vulnerable. This is not put in there just by happenstance, Chris. Watch what he does. He girt. I went and girt it. He girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Let me give you some advice. don't swim in a coat. Why not? You probably are going to drown. But he puts on this coat and he jumps in the sea. What's he thinking? Why is it that both of these guys, when their thought process is and the presence of the Lord shows up, they feel like they need to be covered? He covers himself and casts himself into the sea. What's the sea represent? It represents the wicked. Let me tell you this. When you go out these doors and you go in the sea of wickedness, you better be clothed. When you get out here among the wicked, you better have your robe of righteousness on. Because I'm going to tell you, their purpose is not friendly. Their purpose is to kill you. Every thought the enemy gives you, every thought that the enemy brings to you, everything that he proposes, its goal is to bring you down. Thank God I've been clothed in righteousness and I'm in my right mind and I can control my thoughts. Heard a preacher preaching one day, and he said, this lady came up to him and said, Pastor, I need some help. And he said, what's the problem? She said, the devil's lying to me. He said, you know it's the devil. She said, yes. You know he's lying. Yes. What's the problem? Help me. He's lying to me. You know he's lying. You know he's lying. She said, yeah. Don't you believe him. If I know you're lying, why should I invest into that? But you know what? Some people just believe lies. But if you believe lies, the Bible says there's a people that'll believe a lie and be damned. Think about that. Are you believing truth? There's a gap. So here's what's going to happen. We're getting ready to dismiss. Come on. Come on, musicians. Come on. How long has this been, Shane? I gotta hurry. You're gonna leave here. And when you leave here, there's gonna be thoughts. Right now, most of y'all are doing really good today. You're paying attention really good. You know, you're doing great. Nobody has dozed off this Sunday. Give yourself a hand. It's good. Don't you think I don't see you? The only reason I don't say anything is Eddie said, Damon, if they fall asleep while you're preaching, they trust you. Yeah, this guy's going to say good stuff. I'm going to bed. Trust you. But here's what's happening. I'm giving you God's word. I'm teaching you that it's coming. But when you walk out those doors, the devil's going to give you a thought. He's going to give you a thought. And the devil don't stop. I know pastors who have committed suicide. Let me tell you what that action started with. A thought. But man, you're in a good place today. Because you know what? When that thought comes, you can capture it. God gives us power to capture it. Let me find one more verse and I'm going to let you go. Oh, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So here's what happens when that little thought swimming around in your head. Stop it. Every alcoholic has got deliverance because they captured the thought. Man, that's powerful. Every addict has got deliverance because they captured the thought. Every lustful husband has gotten deliverance because he captured the thought. Oh, ask ask a recovering alcoholic, do you still think about drinking? There's a gap. There's a gap. He said, bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. Man, if you ask them, do the thoughts still come? Yeah. But I don't respond the way I used to. Man, I feel God in this place. I don't respond the way I used to. There's something in me that's greater. Yeah, those thoughts come, but I don't yield to them. I capture them. I bring them to the obedience of Christ because I've got something greater in me. Let me tell you what happened. When I'm out there on that boat and I shouldn't be out there, oh, I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going back the wrong way, back to what I used to be. Aren't you glad to know that Jesus will come in the morning and he'll stand and he'll say, hey, what about meat? What about the meat? What about the meat? Man, you need some meat, man. Man, I got something for you. You can't make it on milk. But oh, I got something for you. It would be Jesus that would look at the disciples and say, launch out into the deep. Go deeper, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. Get off the surface, man. It's so shallow at the surface. Find this out for me, and I'd appreciate it, because I studied it for a while. How deep below the ocean surface do you got to go before it's calm? This is what I do know. When those waves are on top, those fish are not down there going. They're not doing it. Because there's a level. Are you hearing me? There's a level where it gets calm. There's a level where the wind on the surface don't affect you. There's a level. Oh, I'm going out into the deep. I left the sanctuary and there was a river that flowed underneath the door. And man, I went a little ways and I measured 1,000 and it was ankle deep. Oh, but I took out the line and I went out a little bit farther and oh, it was up to my knees. Oh, but I didn't stop there. Oh, some people are okay, Doug, with being in the kiddie pool. I don't know about you, but I got to go deeper. I got to go deeper. I got to go deeper. I want to know the depth of his love. I want to know how deep it is. Went a little farther and oh, it was up to my chest, up to my neck, and then it became a river that I could not cross. Can I tell you, God's got a place for you where the enemy cannot make it. God, why did you take me through the water? Because your enemies can't swim. Oh, are you listening to me? Let's stand, let's stand. Come on, let's sing, let's sing. If you need prayer today, if you need power in that space between stimulus and response, would you come and allow us to pray for you? Right now, come on, man, help me pray. In that gap, Matt, in that gap, the thoughts are coming. Oh, they're coming, they're coming. What are you gonna do in that space? What are you gonna do in that space? What do you do when the enemy says, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Oh, thank God for power. Thank God for his word. Thank God for deliverance.